3, 2, 1. Thank you and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and we certainly trust that you'll receive a blessing from the radio program this morning. We would want to take this opportunity to invite you to the services at the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. If you're looking for a church home, you know, sometimes folks get discouraged and disgruntled with their worship. Sometimes it's a lacking in themselves. And if you have a desire in yourself to really worship God in spirit and in truth, and you want to be at peace when you worship, and you want to worship God's way, we invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, because that's what we want to do here. We want to follow what God says in His Word, regardless of it hits me or hits you. We want to do what God says. And we invite you to come to the services and bring your families, bring your Bibles, and see if what's being preached is the Word of God or not. We want to continue this morning on the same line of thought we've been preaching the last couple of Sunday mornings about Satan. We first of all began to show you that Satan is a real person, and he's not just an evil influence, but Satan is really real. He's a real entity, and the Bible says that he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that he's doing very well. We began to break down the way that Satan works, and I think it's important for us to realize that Satan does work, and I think it's good for us to know how he works. If we don't know how he works, we won't be able to defeat him. You know, if the basketball team or the football team or the baseball team, in order to overcome their opposition, their opponent, they must know how the other team plays. That gives them a distinct advantage in winning the ball game. And so it is with us. We need the advantage of knowing how Satan works so that we can defeat him and so that we can live a victorious Christian life. And so we're going through these points about the ways that Satan works today. And we've covered the first point, I think, very well. That is the fact that Satan tempts. He gives us all kinds of evil suggestions as to actions. And then secondly, we began this last Sunday morning, that Satan gives evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. And we made the distinction between Satan giving an evil thought and us dwelling on that thought. We want you to understand that Satan always gives evil thoughts. And every thought that comes into our mind that's not of God, it's got to be of Satan. Of course, we don't have to think about those things. We're not supposed to think about bad things. We're supposed to have our minds on good things, on holy things, and on right things. The Bible even says that we ought to think about things that are lovely and things of good report and things that are honest and pure and good and whole and right. And we ought not think about bad things at all. Now, you remember in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 2, that there was a man who was an apostle, a disciple of Jesus, that betrayed Christ. And his name is Judas Iscariot. I think everybody knows the man. Now, in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 2, let me read this to you. The Bible says, "The devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus." Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? We find that the reason that Judas Iscariot betrayed our Savior was because Satan put this evil thought into his heart. It first went into his mind, of course, but then it went into his heart, and it caused him to betray Jesus Christ. Let me read you something else that will really give you something to think about. When we think about Satan giving us all these evil thoughts and the consequences that must be paid for following through on an evil thought that Satan gives. In the book of Acts, chapter 5 and verse 3, the story is told there of Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a particle of land and coveted together to keep back part of the price of the land and give the rest of the money to the church. And it's not wrong to do that. The problem came in when Ananias and Sapphira decided they would lie and say that they gave all the price of the land to the church. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, they were confronted. Ananias is confronted by Simon Peter when he gave the money. And here is what Peter said. "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Who caused Ananias to lie, according to the Bible? It was Satan. You see, the consequences of the lie was that Ananias died, and he was carried out and buried, and his wife wasn't even told what had happened. In just a little bit, in came the wife, Sapphira. And Peter said, "Is the land been sold for so much?" And she said, "For so much." And he said the same thing to her. He said, "Well, you've lied, and your husband has lied, and he's dead, and now you're going to die," and she died. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Now look, it doesn't ever pay to follow Satan. Satan is the destroyer. And he comes to destroy, and he is destroying, and he will destroy, and he'll destroy me and you if we follow him. It doesn't pay to follow him. I'm amazed at the lies that's told that's supposed to be true. Satan desires men to do all kinds of evil things to their bodies. And they say, "It won't happen to me. I won't face the consequences of my sin." And so the drunkard finally, at the end of his life, realizes that drink has killed him. The person using tobacco, when they have cancer, emphysema, or some other dread disease, winds up knowing that their evil sins has led to their death. Young men and women take drugs and say, "I won't face the consequences of my sin." And yet they do. Men and women, young men, young women, lose the use of their brains because of following the evil thoughts that Satan gives them. Some young man, some young woman would say, "I don't have to obey the laws of the land. I can drive my car 100 miles an hour down this road and it's nobody's business." And they wreck, hurting themselves, perhaps killing themselves, and perhaps killing someone else. And somebody pays the consequences. Let me tell you, Satan is real. And he's doing all he can do to wreak havoc upon this earth today. He's a real entity, alive and well. So don't follow him, because you'll always reap what you sow. The Bible says so. And so don't be following in those things. Point number one was that Satan tempts. Point number two is that Satan gives us evil thoughts. And point number three is that Satan takes advantage. We must be on guard against Satan every day, because he will lead us into situations and then he'll go off and leave us whole in the bag. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, For we are not ignorant of his devices. In this scripture, Paul was talking about forgiving a fellow man, a person in the church who had sinned. And Paul is saying we ought to forgive him now because Satan will use it against us if we don't. Satan takes us at a point in when we're the lowest. And Satan at that point will use that advantage against us. The things that bother you the most is what Satan will use against you. If, for example, you're not bothered by the use of any kind of intoxicating beverage, Satan won't use that. He won't even bring that up to you. It won't bother you at all. Maybe using tobacco or cursing or swearing is no problem with you. Maybe running around and carousing is no problem to you and it doesn't bother you. And so Satan will never use that on you. But what if you just love to tell good juicy stories, you know, gossip? Then Satan will make sure that you're always in a place so you can hear one. And he'll always put you in a position so that you can have an advantage of telling one. Now, Satan will do that. And if you will check, you'll see that he does this in your life. He does it in my life. He takes advantage of those things that we're susceptible to. He'll always do it unto us. If we hold malice or envy or hatred in our heart towards somebody, anybody, Satan will take advantage of that to bring shame or disgrace or just to ruin our testimony. Now Satan will do it because he always knows, it seems, where we're the weakest. That's why that Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Because in those weak things, Paul had learned to trust God. And when he trusted God, God always let him overcome. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be overcomers. Because only overcomers will be in the kingdom of God. I didn't say only overcomers will be saved. Because Jesus saves sinners. But there's a special place for those people of God, for those children of God, for those saved people who overcome and serve God faithfully all of their lives. Well, we've covered three of the devices of Satan. One is the temptations of Satan, and the second is evil thoughts, and third is that Satan takes advantage. Next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, we're going to continue on these same devices of Satan. And I have seven here all together, and so we're going to try to get through this next time, Lord willing. And then we want to go on to discuss the end of Satan, what's going to happen to him. It's a marvelous study. Well, we do want to give you an invitation to come to services at the Independence Baptist Church. We really do want you to come and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio program. And we trust that these messages will be a blessing and a help to you as you attempt to live your life for Christ and fight Satan every step of the way. Thank you now for listening.